from KQED.
30 years ago this weekend, the top-rated TV show was Dallas. Raiders of the Lost Ark was about to hit the theaters, and Ronald Reagan was halfway through his first year as president. It was also the start of a medical mystery, a mystery solved by the discovery years later of HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. But it began on June 5, 1981, with a report from the federal government that five previously healthy young men in Los Angeles had come down with a rare lung disease. Within weeks, there were other news reports, like this one on NPR's Morning Edition in early July, raising still more questions.
Today, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta releases its weekly report. Findings show that a form of cancer has suddenly surfaced in unusual amounts in gay men. Laurie Garrett reports from San Francisco.
Kaposi sarcoma is a rare...
In the months that followed, gay men in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco followed the news with growing alarm, alarm verging on panic. Paul Boenberg was a community activist in San Francisco at the time.
It's true, for a while we didn't know it was an infectious agent, we didn't know what the agent was, but people certainly understood that their friends who lived lives just like them, who were their age and lived with them in the Castro or wherever they lived, were getting sick and dying very, very quickly.
Before long, San Francisco's Castro district was transformed from a neighborhood celebrating the growing gay rights movement and sexual freedom to the epicenter of an exploding epidemic.
First, you did get the fear, and then, of course, as soon as people knew people who were sick, we were trying to take care of them. So there was an issue of, you know, making sure they ate, making sure they got medical care, making sure that people who didn't have insurance got care, and all of that went on for a while.
Family members, neighbors, boyfriends, and co-workers became caregivers. But Paul Boenberg recalls that those acts of selfless generosity were matched by ignorance, fear, and calls for discrimination.
You know, fire them from their jobs, lock them up in camps. Horrible, horrible things were proposed.
The toll mounted. First hundreds, then thousands of people, most of them gay men, were dead or dying. At a Starbucks in the Castro this week, two friends recalled those early years. Manuel Barrero learned he was infected with HIV in 1989, and he wasn't alone.
I've had many friends that are already gone. Like, the whole gang's gone. There's probably four of us left. So it's been a great loss of friends and family, and opportunities have been lost. You know.
How did you deal with that when it was happening?
Well, first in denial, definitely denial. And then it's time to face the denial and the reality. The reality was grim back then.
His friend Charles Hummel remembers delivering meals in Los Angeles to people with AIDS, people who couldn't leave their homes.
That was frightening, and I used to try to make friends with them, you know, because that's the only thing you can do. I mean, they're living their life, they're dying in that little apartment, you know. And that was a sad part.
There were many, many sad parts in those early years before new medications brought rays of hope.
I'm doing good. Do you have any pain today?
From the start, San Francisco General Hospital was ground zero, where some of the first patients appeared with mysterious and very troubling symptoms. Brave nurses and doctors, unsure if they themselves were at risk, tended to the sick and dying. Ward 86 at San Francisco General pioneered what became known throughout the world as the San Francisco model for comprehensive AIDS care.
I just try to imagine how things were back then and all the young people that came through this ward and couldn't make it.
Social worker Hernando Dueño Segre at Ward 86 this week. He says while so many did not make it, the dead are not forgotten.
I think of this as a living museum, but also there's something very spiritual about this place. I feel sometimes that we're surrounded by a lot of people that were here at some point and are here no longer.
Dr. Diane Havler was a resident at San Francisco General in the 1980s. Today, she's chief of the AIDS division here.
I would say AIDS was characterized by death, by despair, by fear, and by futility.
And she says there was massive collateral damage to families, businesses, a whole generation of men who saw California as a place to start a new life, only to see their lives end too soon.
We saw people coming in extremely ill. We saw people coming in with exotic cancers. We saw people coming on with purple skin lesions, which is a hallmark of Kaposi sarcoma. People came in blind because one of the infectious in AIDS caused blindness. People came in with seizures. And people came in demented because untreated HIV disease.
About all they could offer them was compassion. The despair peaked in the early 1990s when futility and fear morphed into anger and activism. Groups like ACT UP used no-holds-barred tactics to shame government, religious institutions, and drug companies to do more. Their protests paid off. California politicians like Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Henry Waxman fought for more federal funding. By the mid-90s, new medications had been fast-tracked. They called it the AIDS cocktail, drugs that fought the virus and transformed a death sentence into something more manageable. Today, many people with AIDS can treat their disease with a single pill once a day, something Dr. Habler says that would have been hard to imagine 15 years ago.
Because when we started out with HIV cocktails, 15, 20, you may remember this, 25 medications per day that patients would have to take.
And multiple times a day sometimes.
Multiple times a day with really difficult side effects.
AIDS is a very different illness than it was 30 years ago. What began as a disease of mostly gay white men now claims many Latinos, African Americans, women, and their male partners. It's rarely on the front pages anymore, but it's still a huge problem, especially in places like Africa, where millions of people are living with it. Despite all the progress, even in San Francisco, there's still almost two new HIV infections a day.
How many tubes you got to take?
Only one.
Wow.
Your date of birth, please?
This week at Ward 86, a patient we'll call Andy says he was infected with HIV a year ago. He says he was taking his HIV meds until his Medi-Cal ran out, along with his pills. When he started back up, he says the meds made him sick, so he stopped.
It seems to have taken a lot of my energy. It's made me very fatigued a lot. I feel very sleepy and tired quite often. I don't feel like I can do the same things that I used to do.
Today, AIDS is a chronic condition, more like diabetes than terminal cancer. In the past three decades, new laws have been passed at the local, state, and national level to make discrimination against people with AIDS illegal. And yet, there's still a stigma. Social worker Hernan Ludueña Segre recalls what happened to one patient who learned not long ago that he was HIV positive.
And he went back to his place that day, and all of his roommates had left the apartment and left him alone with the full rent, and he never saw them again. It's hard to believe that those things are still happening, but they are happening.
The death rate from AIDS is far lower today than it was. More than 100,000 Californians are living with HIV, and with treatment, they can expect to live a long time. In fact, says Dr. Havler, HIV and geriatric medicine are intersecting.
To think that we'd be talking about HIV aging back in the 80s was just completely and utterly incomprehensible. But you know what? That is the story of AIDS.
The first three decades of HIV/AIDS claimed the lives of more than a million Americans. Behind the numbers, plays and music that never got written, parents who never saw their children grow up, kids who never graduated from high school. Through all the loss that could not have been imagined in 1981, the epidemic also changed us. It changed politics and gay rights, the way life-saving drugs are approved by the federal government. Today, Paul Boneberg is executive director of the GLBT Historical Society in San Francisco, curator of a history he says he's proud of.
The community was transformed and is certainly stronger and more vibrant than it was 30 years ago. I think part of it is because of AIDS, but most of it is because of our response to AIDS.
Sunday morning, thousands of bicyclists will begin a seven-day ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles to raise money for HIV/AIDS. And in Los Angeles, there will be a candlelight march through West Hollywood marking the 30th anniversary. To see historical photos from the early years of the epidemic, go to CaliforniaReport.org.